We begin today with breaking news.
This is Mark McNeese, and you're listening to the Weekly Red Lines, promoting better news digestion. Welcome to the audio truncated edition of the Weekly Red Lines. I read 'em and I said 'em. Crappy anniversary, America. It's January 6th. 2 years ago today, I woke up from a nap on my couch in the afternoon, and the television was on. The volume was down so I could sleep a little. And what I saw and heard was the capital of my nation being attacked. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. I witnessed something historic and horrific. And despite the incessant attempts by defenders of what happened to rewrite the narrative and create a false universe where these people were just exercising their First Amendment rights or touring the Capitol to take pictures for their grandchildren, I saw an assault. I saw the attempted overthrow of my country and my government. And it's been 2 years since then, so it's a day to mark, a day to never forget. And by the way, I read the other day that current tours of the Capitol, the tour guides are forbidden to say anything about January 6th unless they are asked. It has been erased, just like forces in this nation are attempting to erase black people. They're attempting to erase transgender people. They're attempting to erase LGBT people. And they're having some success, unfortunately. So I'll talk more about that a little later. Let's get on with the red lines for the week. I'm going to start with a quote that I happen to like. It has to do with January 6th and everything that happened. It is from Hope Hicks, who was a top aide to the former President Trump. Quote, "We all look like domestic terrorists now. Thank you, Hope, for stating the obvious." They still look like domestic terrorists. First, the good news, as we move on from something traumatic. It's 2023. I'm happy about that. Democracy did not read its own obituary in the year gone by. America moved into its post-pandemic phase, at least as far as psychologically is concerned. Of course, COVID is still with us. Someone that I've known for many, many years posted on his Facebook page that his cousin just died from COVID, having been vaccinated many times and having underlying conditions. He died from COVID. So it is still happening. We're still losing 200-300 people every day from this virus. So it's not gone. But psychologically, we have moved on, and I'm happy about that. I support that. I only wear a mask if I'm going to a doctor's office. I've been vaccinated 5 times. I got COVID after the 4th one, and I'm just learning to live with it. You know, I'll do what I need to do that where it's required, but I personally have moved on because I have only so much time left on this planet, and I want to do other things with it than obsess over who is going to make me sick every time I leave my house. More good news. The Department of Justice has a 99.8% conviction rate against the Capitol rioters that it is trying. Very happy about that. House Republicans have made history by failing to elect a speaker for the first time in over 100 years from their own party, you know, the majority party. So that's quite something. Kevin Orange Nose McCarthy couldn't get the votes, still can't get the votes after 12, I believe it is 12 votes and counting, while this caucus of 20 or so insurrectionists continued their trench warfare. Mitch McConnell proved the undead are among us by becoming the longest-serving party leader in Senate history, and a suspect was arrested in the horrific murders of 4 University of Idaho students. Happy about that. I'm not going to judge the 2 roommates who survived, because I read yesterday that one of them actually woke up when this apparently was going on, and she peeked out the door and she saw a man in black, and she went back inside and locked the door, and people were saying, like, well, that's nuts. Why didn't she go out and look and see what's happening, or call 911 or something? But she was traumatized. And these are young people. Don't forget how young these people are and how hard it is to make wise decisions, especially in a situation like that. Now I'm going to move on with some headlines, and I'll do some commentary at the end of the show. In terms of LGBTQ+ headlines, Republican outrage over the LGBTQ books escalated in 2022. I attended a school board meeting last night, so I'll address that at the end of my news lines here in my headlines. Any website with LGBT plus propaganda can now be banned in Russia. I would not want to be a gay person living in Russia. There's lots of places I don't want to be a gay person living. There are states in this country I don't want to be a gay person living. But I live in very, very blue New Jersey, and I'm grateful for that. Carrie Lake declared herself the duly elected governor of Arizona. Is she crazy, or is this, like, when does anybody who supports this finally say, I'm being completely bullshitted and lied to and conned, and what am I doing supporting this insanity? She's not the governor of Arizona. She's never going to be. But she is saying she is. She learned from the master, I guess. Abortifacients, is that the word? Mifepristone and misoprostol. I can't pronounce them. The government has determined that they may be mailed to states with abortion bans. These are the pills that can be used to cause abortions, medical abortions. Lou Dobbs attacked the former president for backing what Dobbs called Rhino Swamp. This has to do with McCarthy attempting to become speaker. I only noticed this because Lou Dobbs was a huge kiss ass with Donald Trump. I mean, first of all, Dobbs looks like a vampire, somewhere between a vampire and a zombie. But he was really behind Trump for years, and now he's attacking him. So that's interesting. But I think it's also more evidence that Donald Trump will never be the president again. You heard it here, third, fourth, fifth. GOP Florida Rep. Anna Paulina Luna is fighting rival Michael Tito over his accusations that she is a witch. I really like that one because I'm very fond of witches, and I doubt that she is one, but it's interesting to see it in the House of Representatives. New York City's first legal weed store opened in the East Village. Good for them. We've got them here in New Jersey. It took almost 2 years for the recreational weed to be sold here, but it is available here, and I've been to some, you know, a couple dispensaries, and they're very nice. They're very nice places. Cash only, just in case you want to stop by. You got to have cash or a debit card and pay a fee. So, under health and aging, we've got staying hydrated could mean less disease and slower aging. I'm very bad about staying hydrated. I drink a lot of coffee. I just ordered a new coffee maker on Amazon because I spend a fortune on K-cups, and I've got to stop it. You know, especially since I'm looking to leave my paycheck job in a couple of months and be a full-time writer and producer and everything else I'm doing, trying to scrape, you know, an income out of that along with my Social Security. But anyway, stay hydrated, I guess, apparently. I make that promise and I never keep it. What happens when a family caregiver needs caregiving? That's an interesting article. It was on Salon. It has to do with, of course, caregiving. And I'm, you know, we have elderly parents. So we even have loved ones and younger people, family members that we need to care for, loved ones we need to care for. And it's extremely stressful. So that article was about that. In COVID's third winter, the biggest threat is three viruses at once. And of course, everyone I know was getting sick this winter, mostly not from COVID, but COVID's too, you know. I was sick for 3 weeks and it was not COVID. So when the masks come off, which I'm happy about, we return to being a society that makes each other sick because we have to interact. Under entertainment and culture, Vivian Westwood, the fashion maverick, died at 81. HBO Max is removing all of its Looney Tunes cartoons from 1950 to 2004. That was in Daily Cause. I don't really know why they're doing it. Probably licensing and money. Money is at the bottom of everything, so who knows. And then you had this rather strange one, Olivia Hussey and Leonard Whiting sue the studio over Romeo and Juliet nude scene when they were teenagers. The movie was in 1968. I saw it. I went on a class trip to see Romeo and Juliet. So how old was I? 10 years old? Oh my God, is that possible? But no, there was a nude scene there. And of course, that was one of the moments where I knew what I was attracted to, because Leonard Whiting as Romeo was quite stunning, looking out a window with nothing on. So that caught my eye. And then under Isn't That Something, I've got Colorado ex-funeral directors jailed for selling body parts. This kind of thing happens, you know, with some regularity. Florida sheriff reported that burglars called 911 to get help moving the things they were stealing. I like that one. Northern California statue of a meat packing magnate was beheaded, surely by the people who say meat is murder. I stopped eating lobster, pork, and I haven't eaten veal for a long time. It has to do with the way these animals are killed and treated. I had to steam lobsters at my job and when I was working in the seafood department, and it was just horrible. They're stupid. They're incredibly stupid creatures, but they feel pain, and steaming them to death, boiling them to death, is horrific. You know, there are, I believe there is at least one country over there in the Netherlands or something where it's against the law to kill them that way. You can kill a lobster humanely by cutting it at the back of its neck. I don't know the technique, but it can be killed humanely. There's no reason to steam it to death. So I don't eat lobster. I don't eat pigs because pigs are as smart as dogs. And they're treated horrifically in this country, certainly probably all over the world. But in the United States with gestation crates and in the way that it's just heartbreaking, and I will not eat pigs anymore. Here's another one. Dentists warn of dangerous DIY dental hacks going on viral on TikTok. Now, I'm not a TikTok person. I gave it a try. I don't get it. My attention span is short enough already. I don't understand the pleasure millions and millions and millions of people derive from watching these little videos on TikTok. And of course, a lot of them are just like morbidly obese people dancing. I don't get it. There's a lot of other stuff on there too. I'm just being stupid, but I don't get the attraction, so I'm not a TikTok guy. And then lastly, a man bought the last two scratch-off lottery tickets in a store's roll, and he won $4 million. Of course, that's what luck is. I mean, it's always an amazing story when somebody puts their only $5 into a slot machine and walks away with $1 million. And then we sort of act like, oh my God, that's amazing. But it's always luck. It's always luck. That's just the way it works. Now, I went to a school board meeting here last night with my husband, Frank, the Delaware Valley, school district, which encompasses our township. And it was quite calm. And it nobody got up and called anybody groomers or, you know, railed against books in school. Maybe they will the next time. I understand they have, and that's what I expected, frankly. It was only my second board meeting, and the last one was procedural, and this one really was procedural. The last one was about the curriculum, and we left before the crazies got to the mic. But there was only one public comment last night from a previous board member. It was just really nice and civil and like nothing explosive, and I wish they will all be that way. That's my hope, that they will all be that way. I get Michael Moore's emails and listen to his podcast, and he has been really, really pushing people. Because I like this guy. He predicted that there was not going to be a red wave, and he was right. And he has been pushing people or encouraging his people of like-minded, which is millions of us, to start going to the school boards and start showing up, because they don't think we will. They've taken over the school boards, and they think we're just going to not do anything about it. But we are. We're going to run somebody in this township. We're going to get back the majority. It became a 5-4 majority for the, I guess you call them conservatives. They're supposed to be nonpartisan, by the way. But the Republican money in this area funneled a lot of money into taking over the school board. And we're going to take it back. Now, I think that's kind of winding down here. You can read the entire text version on my Substack, which is Mark McNeese on Topic. You can also find them at lgbtsr.com, which is the website I've had for 11 years for my folks over 50 and our friends and allies, and even at my own website, markmcneese.com. I'll be back next Friday with another news roundup. I'm sure it's going to be a busy news week, because they all are anymore. And that's it. I hope everybody has a great year. Thanks a lot for listening.